Our scripture lesson comes from Mark chapter 7, beginning at verse 1. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus and saw of his disciples eating food with hands that were unclean. That is, they were unwashed. The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And they observe many other traditions, such as the washing of cups and pitchers and kettles. And so the Pharisees and teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with unclean hands?" He replied, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men.' You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to the traditions of men." And he said to them, "You have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. I thought mothers were the only people in the world who worried and kept track of who was eating with dirty hands. I guess a mother's closeness to Jesus goes back a long way then. Now, while mothers and their concern for our clean hands is pure and comes from the heart, it was not the same with the Pharisees. Their concern was not so pure. They were sent to the town Jesus was in so that they could catch him or his followers doing something wrong. Now keep in mind that they believe in the same God, these Pharisees and Jesus. But these people spend their time looking for fault in someone else rather than doing the work of the Father. Oh man, these guys didn't wash their hands like they're supposed to. They didn't let water run through their cupped hands like the laws say that there should. Is that what we are really to get out of this passage? What Jesus had to deal with was a people who put too much stock in the wrong things. "You're complaining that my disciples don't ceremonially wash their hands before they eat? They barely have time to eat. They don't have much time to eat because they are doing the Father's work. Why should they follow the petty man-made traditions that you speak of?" Jesus said to the Pharisees, "Are you the hypocrites that Isaiah talked about when he said, 'These people honor me, God, with their lips, but with their hearts they are far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.'" He called them hypocrites because they made an outward profession of worshiping God, but they gave them no genuine worship from their hearts. Jesus charged them with abandoning the commandments of God, his law, and instead adhering to the traditions that man made. Now, when we look at the word tradition, we learn that it comes from the Greek word paradosis, which means to give alongside of. And thus, the Jewish tradition is men's statutes set alongside of God's laws. Now, that's fine as long as they complement God's law and don't get in the way of it or take on a different meaning than God's law. Matthew shares a similar instance where man-made rules didn't really match up with what God's desire was or what he had intended. We read in Matthew 23, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! For you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourself," speaking of the holiest of holy places in the temple, "you no go in for yourself, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! For you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. Therefore you will receive greater condemnation." Now, Jesus did not put an end to this kind of misidentification of what needs to be paid attention to. Paul also faced the task of reordering and refocusing the attention of the Jews of his time. Circumcision was a symbol of the nearness God desires with his people. God puts a knife to our self-sufficiency. He wants to be part of our identity. He wants to be part of our intimacy, even our potency. Circumcision proclaimed that there is no part of our life too private or too personal for God. And yet, rather than see circumcision as a sign of submission, the Jews had come to see it as a sign of superiority. With time, they began to trust the symbol more than the Father. And Paul shatters this illusion by proclaiming true circumcision is not only on the outside of the body. A person is a Jew only if he is a Jew on the inside. True circumcision is done in the heart, by the Spirit, not by the written law. Such a person gets praise from God rather than from people, those circumcised in the heart. Now, it's not that Jesus was against tradition. He simply thought that it ought to match up with what God had intended. Now listen in on the following conversation. Why do you go to church? Well, so I can be filled up. Well, for what? Well, so I can be a good Christian. What for? Well, so I can feel good about myself. And so I want to come to church more. So let me get this straight. You come to church in order to get filled up so that you can be a good Christian and feel good about yourself so that you will want to come to church more? Yes, you've got it. There is more to you than that, Jesus offered. If you'll follow me, I'll help you find it. We come today to participate in one of two sacred traditions that Jesus gave to us directly, the sacrament of Holy Communion and baptism. Today in Holy Communion, we are forgiven, we are strengthened, we are healed, we are blessed, we are fed, and then we are sent forth in a rite that sets us apart as God's people in the world. Now, whether we take part in a quiet service with seven or other people or in some homebound's home or participate in a full festal celebration in a packed church, the Eucharist map remains the same. Step by step, it leads us into the presence and very being of God, where holy flesh and blood become our own. Celebrating Holy Communion over and over again, we build up the muscles of our hearts and souls and minds, exercising our ability to respond to the presence of the Holy in our midst. Talking to the disciples when faced with feeding the crowds, Jesus said, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread which I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh." Jesus wants ritual laws, the traditions, to be put alongside of God's laws. For Jesus, what goes into a person's body, whether kosher or not, is not nearly as important as what comes out of one's mouth or through one's actions. Spiritual behavior issues from the heart, not from the rites of purification. Jesus teaches the scribes and the Pharisees in a graphic way that some things are important in the life of faith and some are not. The task of believers, you and me, is to determine which is which. Our task is to hear and heed the gospel. Our task is to share God's love with all that we encounter. We celebrate today the sacrament of Holy Communion. So come and be a part of this time and build up the muscles of your heart and soul and mind, exercising your ability to respond to the presence of the Holy that is in our midst. Amen.